Welcome to the Valley Outdoors, everybody. Glad to have you with us. Ava, you're here.
I'm here. We'll see if
Don
Cleaver makes it.
Don is wandering somewhere. I don't know. He's supposed to show up sometime. You know what? It doesn't matter. We can handle this show alone. We got some good stuff to talk about. We've got top 20 deer foods. You're going to want to find out about that. We got that going on. Also, some decisions and conversation going on about Lake Mille Lacs at Lake in northern Minnesota. That and more when we come back. Stay tuned.
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello, I'm Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world. Whoa.
Hey, Ava.
How's it going?
It is going fantastic. How about you?
Just wondering where Don's at, but
he'll be here
when he gets here.
Hey, we can do a fastest show as ever. Even if he's not
here. It goes so much faster.
It does. It just goes so much easier. We don't have him getting in the way.
It goes easier.
Yes, it's easier.
Oh, no.
It's so much easier.
He's
going to hear this, and he's going to realize he better not miss the next time. Makes sense?
Yeah. The hard time he's getting because he's not here.
Yep. That's exactly correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you think about the rain? It plays into what a lot of things that we're going to talk about.
Yeah. You know, I feel like we've been seeing a lot more of it later than usual. So how are those fish reacting to that?
Don't know yet, but at the last week, they have been going well on the river. They've been going well in Mille Lacs. Got a report out of Mille Lacs. We'll talk about Mille Lacs in a little bit. And Mille Lacs is, you know, on fire. They're catching a bunch of fish up there. But obviously, in the river situations across the Midwest, we've had a ton of water coming through. I know North Dakota's had forecasted some 6+ inches of snow this week. It makes pheasant hunting, I should say, getting to your maybe particular spot or making it up there or duck hunting, it's also going to force a lot of ducks down. But as far as the fish go, they're going big time, and it's been great. But you know what? Sitting out in the element, as the temperature starts to take a hit, like it is this weekend, we got some forecast chilly with
the
chance
S-word,
of meatballs.
The S word shows up for this weekend.
Sneet?
Yeah, sneet.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's pretty sneet.
Yeah, but, you know, I think a big thing is people need to realize to dress for that type of weather too.
Oh, you can. The only issue is if it transitions from rain, that's one of the things that was tough. One year I was going out, I was hunting, bow hunting down in the Minnesota Valley refuge down there. And I said, well, it's going to be rainy and crappy. And it was around Thanksgiving. I still hadn't got my deer yet because I decided to pass on 4 deer. Oh, not big enough. And then I sit, and that year I was hunting on December 20th, freezing, and never did capitalize. But so the day I went out, I said, you know what, I'm going to wear my waders, and I could bike in. So I had my waders on my bike, bow in the back, and it was fantastic. Work never got wet. It was awesome. Nice slow walk because they don't breathe. But saw some really good deer that day, and it was nice because the felt soles are really quiet in the leaves.
Interesting.
But nonetheless, you know, fishing in the rain is one thing, but when it's torrential rain and you start to get a little soggy towards the end of the day or maybe midday for some of you guys, if you don't have good rain gear, it can be a bit of a problem. But I will say this. One of the things that came up, I fished an area that I fished a long time, and I had to fish it differently. And one of the things that I wanted to bring up today was, you know, when you're fishing shorelines, a lot of it has to do with if you're pitching straight into a shoreline and, you know, the contour or the shoreline and then the bottom kind of drops out and comes deeper, closer to where you're pitching. So you're out away from shore. Let's say you're 40 feet from shore. Mm-hmm. It's obviously shallow towards shore. That's maybe relatively more rocky. Then it comes back, drops off. The time you're in a particular strike zone, let's say those fish are in that on that shelf, is relatively short. So you don't have opportunity to contact fish that may be active, but for a very short period of time. And so I couldn't figure out what was going on. And I thought, you know what? Let's just do this. So I moved in closer and worked my way down the shore with long diagonal casts. Guess what? Five casts, I had four fish. They were that particular about how I was pulling that bait back, and I was able to stay in the strike zone that much longer. It's like somebody turned a switch. It was that different.
Just changing the angle, huh?
Change the angle. So watch the angles. You're able to contact more fish. You're able to stay on or in the strike zone much longer. And, of course, letting the fish tell you what they want. That's the other thing. And the best part was that I said, you know what? I bet if I vertical jig this, I can probably catch some fish.
And you did.
And then it turned into stripers and some more walleyes. And, I mean, we had crappies, stripers, and walleyes. It was an awesome day. And it was one of those things where it's just nice when finally there was no wind. It was comfortable to be out fishing. Not that it was warm, but it was comfortable and just flat out enjoyable. So, you know, play with a lot of things in fall, and the bite's only going to get better for you guys no matter where you're at. And it's going to go right up until freeze up. And we've got some time before freeze up. You know, I'm looking long-term forecasts. We're looking at some maybe 50s by the following week. And I think we should be pretty good there. So
we're going to cool off and then warm up again?
And then warm up again.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But a lot of things happening. We've got ski areas that'll be open by mid next week.
Hey, don't talk about that.
I'm talking snow out in the mountains right now.
What beautiful colors we have right now, though.
And they
beautiful.
And you know what I hate about that?
What?
We had that big wind last week. Or not even. It was this week. And how many leaves did we lose?
Most of them.
How much color did we lose? It happens. And it's so frustrating because you're just
thinking, you got to time it just right.
Same thing. It's just beautiful. And everything turns into, oh, my yard looks pretty. Pretty brutal.
Yeah. Yep.
So I got to deal with that. But you know what? It is what it is. You know, you deal with that.
Hey, do fish kind of react to dramatic weather changes, kind of like how deer do if it's a real big cool off? Do they get hungrier, get more active, or do they?
They deal with the fronts. Yeah, they are okay. Impacted. What's interesting is that lakes are more impacted than rivers. Rivers generally will be less susceptible to it. They are more current related rather than, oh, it's cold, so I need to go put a jacket on. I need to go somewhere and find my jacket.
Sure.
Sad.
Okay, so it affects more lake fishing.
That's what I found in all the tournaments that we have. It's generally the case because you don't have the water's mixed. I mean, the water gets mixed up. If it's a storm system or something that comes through on a lake, you find it's definitely the same way. So in summer, yep. So.
Gotcha.
Well, hang tight. We're going to be talking a little bit about what's going on with the fishery up in Mille Lac and what's going on with deer. What are they liking to eat this time of year? Stay tuned. Thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. Appreciate you sticking around. If you're still here, that means you got past our first segment, which is pretty good. Yeah, that's.
Are we batting 500?
We're batting 1,000 if they're still listening.
Nice.
You know, hey, I just noticed you have fishing lure earrings.
Kind of. I bet this would catch a fish though.
Of course it would.
Here, take a look at it.
The only problem is you got to put a hook on it. See, I've got it. Actually, that's what this is. It's got a swivel. You guys, okay, so it's an actual for a pierced ear. It's got a small willow leaf blade, very small, tiny, like about a half inch and about a long and about an eighth inch wide. The next one steps up. It's probably about 5/8 long and quarter inch, and the next one's about 3/4 inches long, and that one's a hammered blade, and that one's about 1/4 inch long as well. And it's an actual fishing swivel that's on it, but it's not swiveling. So we'll have to free that part up because it doesn't really turn, and I'm not going to break it for you.
Yeah, don't do that.
So, yeah.
We should almost take a picture of my earring and be like, would this catch a fish?
Go ahead.
Do a cast, like a vote on
Absolutely.
Our Facebook page.
Yeah, no. I think that would be, okay, hang on. Let me do this right now. This is called on-air make it up as you go program.
How should we do it?
I'll just take a, hold it up. I'll take a picture.
Hang on, folks. We're getting it.
There we go. All right, that's dead air right there, but we got it. So we'll be posting that on the page. And look at the Facebook page and comment, please, if you would.
If you think that
this would
catch a fish.
We have to add two things. What would we add would be the first question. What would we add that you would help you catch a fish?
Sure.
And then what species do you think you would catch with that
earring
setup?
Cool. I love that.
Huh? Yeah,
love
just
that.
Out of the blue, I kind of like, whoa.
And, you know, I would tell my husband to try it, you know, like put a hook on this and try it. But I like these, so.
Just shot that idea down.
Yeah. It will not be tested, but you can, in theory.
At least that's what you think right now.
You better not. Don't touch them.
Well, when you
I'll
find out one's missing.
And I'll know exactly
I can't figure
where
out where it
is.
Went.
It's in the Mississippi.
You never
oh,
had
no.
that happen. You never had that happen, right? Yeah. We would be remiss if we didn't ask everybody to check us out at Facebook and where else?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
Absolutely. And, of course, now you have to check us out. You've got to see if this earring is going to catch fish.
Oh,
and
if
do.
Anybody was wondering when Don's joining us, he will not be.
No.
Found out.
He had some meeting that went overtime.
Yep. That happens.
Yep. I was gonna Bobby Brown, bad music at that point. Can't touch this. Down. Never mind.
Dude, so we have this nifty little rundown thing.
Yeah. What do you got for
we
me?
We had a couple accidents with youth hunt in Minnesota.
Yeah.
What happened?
So in the youth hunt, it's a supervised hunt. So you have
Right,
an adult.
You have to have an adult.
Right. Two men were injured. In separate incidents, they were accidentally shot by young, inexperienced hunters, and both survived, but had to be hospitalized. The Sherburne County Sheriff's Office said that a 45-year-old man was in a deer stand with his 13-year-old daughter on Sunday morning. After shooting a deer, the girl accidentally fired a second round that struck her father in the leg. Another relative applied a makeshift tourniquet until the deputies arrived. And then they hauled his daughter off to jail. No, I'm kidding. No, that's in a very unfortunate situation.
And I think she paid the price.
Yeah.
And that's a tough way to learn, but
yeah,
holy smokes.
As long as everybody's okay, that will probably go down in the family as a story for the holidays that we'll keep on giving.
I don't know if it'll ever get funny, though. I don't think it will.
I think it probably will.
I don't know.
If everybody's okay, no permanent injuries, I think it would be all right.
You say so.
Hey, comment if you think it would be, again, everybody walks away, they come up, they're healed, and they're not any permanent damage, I think that might be the case. If there's permanent damage, I think
not so
it would
funny.
Be terrible.
Okay.
Absolutely. Either case, it would be terrible, and she would feel guilty for a long time. But also, Sunday, 50-year-old man from Bemidji was struck in, do you remember Forrest Gump?
Yeah.
You know, when he
got jumped up and bitten
no,
in the butt?
No, do you remember when he got shot in...
Yeah, in the buttocks.
In the buttocks. Well, in this particular case, a 50-year-old Bemidji man was struck in the buttocks when the 10-year-old hunter the man was supervising accidentally pulled the trigger while attempting to unload the rifle. The man was airlifted to a hospital in Fargo due to seriousness of his injuries, and the Minnesota's 4-day youth season is for 10 to 17-year-old kids. So.
Okay. Well, and we don't know his status.
He's okay.
He's all right now?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. They would have put something in there counter to that. But, I've never had a close call, knock on wood. You know, we brought it up earlier this year. when we talked about the administration when they cut funding for gun safety.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to eliminate a pastime, all you have to do is simply just eliminate the training for it so that people are not going to go out and do it because they don't
feel comfortable.
They don't know how to feel safe. They don't have a and there's not a program out there that would help a single parent family that's not necessarily involved in it or that may want to, and there's nothing out there to do it, and it would eliminate it. And so that's why I think it's so important the training, the gun safety was approved, and that got pushed through along with archery as well. But this is a prime example. You just need to keep doing it. I don't know if those two had been in a
class or something.
I thought that was rather odd. Just as a comment, I was going through some news stories today. Remember we talked about the two guys that were busted out in Ohio fishing tournament?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And they were probably cheating in several other tournaments in prior years. In fact, one of my friends was in one of the events. He finished second to those guys. Well, he is back in the limelight. One of Kaminsky is back in the limelight. In Pennsylvania, apparently, he is charged with illegally shooting several deer that he had and found out to be mounted in his living room. Not a good thing. Again, it was just anecdotal. I didn't have the printout for it, but nonetheless, I was not, in one way I was surprised, in another way I was not surprised. Very frustrating that kind of thing is allowed to go on. It should just say, look, your hunting and fishing privileges are revoked for 10 years until you
learn
your lesson. And that was a very unfortunate scenario. But, sad news. Well, get them out of the woods and off the water and keep them there for a while.
Yeah.
How about that?
Might be a good idea.
Well, hey, tell you what, stay tuned. We're going to be back. We're going to talk about what has gone on, conversations with Lake Mille Lac, and some regulation changes they're promoting. Stay tuned. Be right back. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. So, Ava, have you always wondered what deer want to eat?
I don't know. Are they that complicated?
Wow.
I have to say something.
You know what? The audience right now is like, wasn't she supposed to say yes?
No.
I would have assumed. I guess the sad part is when you ask a question, understand that there's only one answer you could give. Otherwise, you aren't prepared for what you're going to get.
Okay. Got it.
Hey, Ava. Aren't you always curious on what deer really want to eat?
Always.
Because apparently it's not going to be deer sticks.
I guess not.
Oh, so I guess the reason I say this is, you know, you look at a lot of the areas that whether it's whatever the food source that you are hunting in your particular area, obviously you want to structure how you set your stand up, how you set your drives up, and where you're looking at those trails for those food areas. And even if it's a food plot, how are they ranked as far as the foods for deer? So,
got it.
Right? That make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're gonna go with 20 on down. All right. So 20. of the top favorite foods deer eat. Number 20, treetops. When you have deer, when you have these trees that fall, they want to eat the treetop because it's much more, would you say, edible? It's softer, a lot of times it's newer growth. Boom. Got it? Okay. That one's kind of boring. Like, meh, whatever. pears. The look on your face is awesome.
I am.
You're not going to find a lot of pears growing in the wild, but when you do, you're probably going to hang a stand nearby it. They cannot resist them. And once your tree or trees start dropping fruit, they will be there. Number 17.
Can I say no S, Sherlock, on like the falling fruit? For deer? Like, of course they're going to want to eat it. Why wouldn't they want to eat it?
Okay. Wow. You guys, this is what I deal with every week.
Okay, when she's Dodge all red faced and here, and you have to have me as your
We're
going to
jump.
And
we're going to.
I apologize.
Wow. Soybeans, a farmland favorite. How about that?
No S, Sherlock.
Uh huh. Of course, agricultural crop. Soybeans are deer magnets, both early and late fall. In summer and early fall, they'll absolutely hammer the foliage of the soybean plants. And the appeal tapers off, however, when the leaves turn yellow. But once they dry out, then they're a huge late season draw. So if they're yellow, they don't like them. If they're dried out, they do. Gotcha. I was expecting a response
that
from
was
that
a,
last
That
part.
Was a little bit more interesting.
Saplings and shrubs?
Yeah, okay.
Wow. This is
The problem is that like I've been a deer hunter forever.
Okay. Critical in fact is a deer cannot survive without eating leaves, twigs, and buds of a woody browse nature, which usually means the saplings and shrubs as well as some of the vines. They tend to eat and browse where they live in the big woods habitats. That's away from the food plots and ag fields. And of course the young woody growth shoots up and you're talking about dog hair type. They can reach it, you know, the younger growth trees. So that works.
Gotcha.
Got it. Okay. Persimmons. If you're a northerner, you're more likely to find a pear tree than a persimmon. That's a southern deal.
I was just going to like, what?
Well, apples, pears, persimmons are tops. Other fruits can be good as well. Wild berries. They also like those. Raspberries, blackberries, wherever that's at as well. So keep that in mind. That works.
Berries. Got it.
Can you mark that down in your book? Yep. Northern white cedar. They like cedar as well.
Okay.
You can probably see a lot of the areas that are chopped down. Mushrooms. Scattered deer snacks. Don't miss the chance to
munch on those.
Check those out. Yep. Right. If you see a deer kind of wandering aimlessly, and it may not be.
It may not be CWD.
Yeah, it may not
it
be.
It may be the mushrooms.
May they found the mushrooms. Exactly. Milo. Milo is a big pheasant deal out in South Dakota. It is a grain similar to sorghum, and it is easy to access, and there's a ton of those seeds that are in that particular plant. Forbs, sedges, and herbs. They grow naturally in a fallow field, pastures, and burns and prairies. They make up quite a bit of the diet when they're there. Frosts make a certain species less toxic and tastier. 70% of the whitetail's summer diet consists of forbs, pokeweed, aster, ragweed, wild strawberry, and goldenrod. Did you know that?
A lot of those I don't
see. Smarty pants.
Recognize.
Mm-hmm. See, now I'm proving that you need fir
more
needles.
More information.
Fir needles. They love that. Did you know that?
Yes.
They prefer it over acorns, apples, or turnips.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of more like a moose thing, but.
No.
I guess not.
No. Believe it or not, fall leaves. Deer eat leaves. They readily eat fall leaves. And they seem to prefer freshly dropped leaves for higher moisture content. The favorite color is red, which has more residual sugar because it's obviously from a maple tree. In most cases, the real red ones. Top species are dogwood, aspen, and maple. There's one problem for hunters. Good luck setting up an ambush on this food source, because Where are they? Everywhere, all over. Yep. Cowpeas, an early fall favorite. First, when I say cowpeas, I think somebody's using a disguised term for something else.
Right.
Another popular food plot plant, particularly in the South. So definitely going to be there. Corn, the game changer. No one needs to say anything about it, about the corn, right? What are you going to say?
No, ask Sherlock.
From a hunting standpoint, the most important thing is keep close tabs on that harvest, particularly any cut cornfields. It's going to move the deer, and they will hang out not far from it as there's a lot of drop grain at that point. Clover, it's a low-maintenance food plot, just as
I'd say that's like the most common, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I'll say it's clover and alfalfa are pretty tight. So that's number seven.
Okay, you've got like a minute, so you got to fly through these.
Cereal grains, that's easy. Rye, wheat, oats. Number five, brassicas, which I'm not sure what that is. Kale, turnips, rutabagas, and radishes. How about that? Yep.
Root.
Yep.
Beech nuts. Got it.
Beech nuts, that's a Northwoods staple. There's a lot of beech nut around. Apples, that's deer candy. That's number three. Number two, alfalfa.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I have to live my own life. That was from Spanky. Yeah.
Is that Little Rascals?
Little Rascals. Okay, well done. And last but not least, number one, acorns.
Did crab apples make the list?
Nope. Not even in the mix. Not even in the mix. Well, guys, that's a wrap for us. Lots of fun information for you guys today. We can't thank you enough for hanging out with us. I'm Eric. Ava's across from me. We are the Valley Outdoors. We will see you next week. Have a fantastic weekend out in the outdoors. See ya.